And she goes, "Hey, it's okay to just say thank you. You can just say thank
Right?
you." And I've never been taught that. I had never been told you can receive a compliment and that's okay. Because I always thought if I say thank you, then that means I agree with you and that means I'm conceited. So let me
Right.
not say thank you. Let me deflect and say, "Oh, no, no, no."
Hey, babies! Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. Babies, I'm here with Angela Johnson, comedian, and so excited to have her. Okay, I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm done. I'm starting
you
over.
You can say it all you want. Be excited.
I say it all the time on every podcast. But this one, I really, really, really am very excited about. It's true.
That's
I've been
funny.
Watching you forever. I've been imitating your sets.
Thank you.
Laughing, enjoying your comedy for a very
Thank
long
you.
time.
Thanks.
I mean, I just want to pinch myself. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad we could make it work. This is great.
So great. And there's a couple things we want to talk about.
All right.
Most importantly, why don't we jump into the fact that you're starting a tour?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So my new tour, it's the Who Do I Think I Am tour, which is based on my book, Who Do I Think I Am? Stories of Chola Wishes and Caviar Dreams. Do you know what a Chola is?
Yeah, of course. I grew up in Montebello.
Oh, okay. Then yes, you do. Okay, good. She knows. You probably were a Chola, even if you a white girl, you probably were a Chola. I know a lot of white girls that were Cholas. Like,
yeah, I shaved off my eyebrows and painted my eyebrows on.
You did?
No.
Oh, okay.
But that's what they did.
You almost
that's
got some street cred.
Tempting.
I almost gave
it was
you
tempting.
Some. I almost gave you some. So my book is called Who Do I Think I Am? Stories of Chola Wishes and Caviar Dreams. My tour starts on March 25th, and we go to 60 cities all across the United States. It ends in November, so it's going to be a pretty Extensive. Massive tour. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm going to go. I'm going. I am so excited.
Thank you.
So excited. So when you do these sets, do you do different new material, or do you do some of your traditional material?
Well, I've been working on a new hour and I build a new hour. So what I do is I slowly get rid of things and add new things. Mm-hmm. So if you see me, all of last year, I was building my hour. So if you saw one of my shows in April, you probably saw 15 minutes of new material. And then if you saw my show in August, you probably saw half hour of new material. And then if you saw, by the time you saw the end of the year, I was pretty much at my hour.
I see.
So it's like, it depends on where I'm at in the writing process. And so I do a bunch of comedy clubs all over the country, write my hour, and then now I start my theater tour with the hour that I wrote last year.
So then you write it, you try it out, and you see which one gets the best laughs,
yeah.
And then you incorporate that.
Yeah, and then you alter it, you change it. So at comedy clubs, I can do anywhere from like 5 to 8 shows in a weekend.
Yeah.
And so I'll try a joke. If it didn't quite work, then I'll adjust something, and then I'll come back on stage for the next show, try it again until it works, or until you're like, okay, this isn't funny, I guess. Let me just let this one go.
Right, like this is, I'm trying, because do you try different deliveries, obviously, right? So you time it out, you try a different delivery so that see if it...
Yeah, it's my own voice, my take, my point of view on whatever it is that we're talking about. And usually if I think it's funny, I'm like, I'm going to try it and see if other people think it's funny. And then it's all timing and delivery. And I could say something, and a lot of times it's not even the thing that I said that was funny. It was the face that I make after I say it and the beat that I take before I say the next word. That's the part that makes people laugh. You know what I mean?
I know, because I've been watching you for a long time. I know. It's that facial expression. It's the like the little sarcasm. I just love it. So,
thank you.
I love the – my one that I always remember and always like try to redo is the nail set with the when you go to the nail place.
That is a very popular one. That one was my first viral video.
Really?
It's the one that still – I've been doing comedy for maybe 15 years. I have to go back. 14 or 15 years. And that was one of the first jokes that I wrote in a free joke writing stand-up comedy class at a church.
Ah.
That's how I started stand up. I was going to this church, and on Tuesday nights, they would do like creative arts night where there was like dance classes, acting classes. And I was in the acting class, and we would do like improv games, and I was funny in the games. And yeah. So there was a woman in this class named Lisa Alvarado. She was like, "Hey, would you like to take my joke writing class?" Huh. And I was like, "Is it free?" And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, I guess." You know what I mean? Like, I had no desire to be a comedian at that point. So I was like, "Sure, I'll take the class." And then I wrote the nail salon joke in the class. And then here I am like 15 years later, and people still will shout it out at my shows. Oh, and God. Like, it's the joke that put me on the map.
So you guys know which joke I'm talking about, right? Where she goes to the nail shop and they try to upgrade her services and tell her how much extra it'll be and all that. And the thing that's funny about it to me, and I'm sure to everyone else as well, is that we seem to have all experienced something very similar to that when we go to the yes. nail place.
So, I think that's why it resonated with so many people, because it's a lived experience that yes. a lot of people can relate to.
It's true. It's true. And then the other thing that I always remember is Bonkwikwi.
Yes.
And, you know, security.
Yes.
So... those have just made me laugh for so long. And I just feel like, do you do those characters in your sets anymore? Or do you have to get away from that
no.
because of political correctness?
Bonkwikwi was a character I did on Mad TV, and she got a record deal with Warner Music and came out with a full album. We did a full tour with backup dancers, a live really? Band. It was incredible. And Bonkwikwi has since retired. And mm-hmm. I'm focusing on Angela now, because like Bonkwikwi, we've been shining for a long time. I'm like, girl, it's my turn. Okay, I'm gonna need you to take a back seat, please. Thank you. But no, she's not in my stand up or anything like that. But I still, like around Christmas time, I'll promote like her old Christmas music that she did. Like there was Deck the Hose was one of her songs. It was a good one. Everybody liked that one. So around Christmas time, I'll still put her music out there.
Love. Does anyone give you pushback about it, or do you feel like overall people take it well?
Sure, of course, especially nowadays, right. In the climate for comedy has shifted and changed, but the majority still understand the comedy and appreciate it and love it. So I'm grateful for yeah. that. And I'm just riding that wave until everybody changes their mind. So
I think they will. I think the pendulum will swing a little bit, but I think it's kind of narrowed down to almost that niche right now. Like we can't, you know, you can only within a narrow margin
right.
create so that you won't offend, you know? And so
it's hard. I just feel like I just write about my own life, my own experiences. And then it's like, I'll throw something out there and be like, did I get canceled yet? No. Okay. I'll keep going. You know what I mean? Because you never even know. I mean, I have a joke that I would do about my husband. I have a fear of death, first of all. Mm. Like, for real fear of death. I write mm-hmm. about it in my book. And there was this one day I thought my husband died. And so I walked through the whole scenario of why I thought he died, all the things. And then turns out he didn't die. He was just asleep on the couch downstairs. But I walked through the whole thing. It's hilarious. There's some like dark moments in it where I'm like actually sharing what my dark thoughts were when I thought he died, everything. But I got messages from widows that were very offended and upset about this joke. And so it's like, okay, they're like, you know, you can't joke about things like this. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is my real life. Like, I really have a fear of death. And I really did think my husband died, and I'm sharing this story. So it's like there's always something you can't talk about with someone. So right. someone will always be offended, and then someone will always appreciate. So
yeah.
it's really my rule that I live by is, one, I know my heart. Mm-hmm. I know my intentions. So if I think it's funny and I can sleep at night with my conscience clear, then I'm okay with that joke, because I can't base it on
cater
if
to
other
everyone.
People – are upset by it, because mm-hmm. there will always be someone upset by it. Then I'm just going to be quiet, and now I have no career. So
yeah, I mean, I have the tiniest taste of that on TikTok. TikTok is brutal. Are you on there?
I am. I don't do as many as you. I feel like I need to go to your TikTok and then whatever audio you do, I'm like, okay, let me do that one. I'll be like fresh out of ideas. I'm like, I don't have anything to say. And then you come up with like a new one. I'm like, oh, I could have done that one.
I love that. Oh my God, that's awesome. But what, you know, just a small example, like if I do a TikTok with the staff, then there'll invariably be a comment like you force your staff to do this or your staff has no choice but to do this. But the truth is they do. And I tell them, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. And some of them are excited to do it and think it's funny.
Yeah.
But it gets painted like you're this dictator that's forcing your staff to do TikToks. Then if you don't have the staff in them and you're by yourself and they're like, are you a megalomaniac? Are you like just only you self-absorbed? And you know, during the pandemic, you had to switch gears and not have as many people in your video or play multiple roles in the same video because otherwise you have to wear a mask. And it just isn't engaging, right?
Yeah.
So it ended up looking like it's all just about you, but it's also partly just adapting to what you have to do right now,
yeah.
You know?
Definitely. So, I wouldn't cater to those comments because the person who's saying like, oh, you force your staff to be in the videos probably would love to be in your video. That's the truth.
I think we're going to make a video, you guys.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I want to.
I'm excited.
Maybe I'll finally go viral.
I think you're doing okay. I think she's doing okay. You guys should follow her, Angela Johnson, A-N-J-E-L-A-H Johnson.
Yes. She's yeah.
So funny.
Instagram, TikTok, all the things.
And you just wrote a book?
Yes.
Who Do I Think I Am? Where is it available?
This, you can order it, pre-order it, and March 15th is when the actual book is out. I'm not sure when people are listening to this, but March 15th is when it's available. You can Amazon, Audible, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your favorite book.
Nice. Did you read it?
Did
you read it for Audible?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, I love it.
I was like, did you read it? I was like, well, I wrote it. So.
But like, did you proofread it?
I definitely read it back as I was writing it. Yes. I did read it for Audible. So if you're a fan of my storytelling and my stand-up, yes, I think you'll be a fan of this. And the title, Who Do I Think I Am? Stories of Chola Wishes and Caviar Dreams. It's a layered title. So Who Do I Think I Am is a story of self-identity. Growing up Mexican-American, Angela Johnson, don't speak Spanish. Am I Latina enough? Like always contending with that, wanting to be more Latina than I felt I actually
was. You don't speak Spanish?
And I don't speak Spanish, yes. And that's my whole life. So I grew up wishing that I spoke Spanish, wishing that I lived on this side of the tracks with this neighborhood, but I didn't. So it's always like, you know, who do I think I am, self-identity, even in my faith, like growing up Christian and then becoming an adult and deciding what I believe as an adult. Who do I think I am? The story of self-identity, but it's also who do I think I am to have the audacity to go after such big dreams, to say, I want to be an actress when I'm just this little Mexican-American girl from San Jose who knows nothing about acting. Like, who do I think I am to say, I'm going to go to Hollywood and try to make it? It's like stories of chasing my dreams, of figuring out who I am, what I think, what I believe. And it's got some crazy, you know, coming to Hollywood stories from when I first got here and went to Michael Jackson's house to being like a plus one of a plus one of a plus one at an after Oscars party at Prince's house. I had no business being in any of these situations, but I showed up. I snuck my way in, just like I snuck my way into Hollywood. Love. And so there's just a bunch of funny stories in there, dating stories, growing up, childhood stories, and just how I got to where I am today. So it's my life.
Oh my God. It is so, sounds like it's going to be so fun. And I love that you say, who do I think I am? I do a morning inspirational quote every morning and I say, the person whose voice you need to get out of your head is your own. Mm-hmm. Your own. You're the one that always second guesses, who do I think I am?
Yeah.
And other people might say it, but when you say it, that's dangerous because that means you won't let yourself become more. You won't expect more and do more because you're saying like, who do I think I am?
And sure. I mean, you could say it in like a negative way and, you know, keep yourself in a corner like, oh, who do I think I am to go be an actress? I don't know anyone. But it's more the way that I would encourage people to ask that question about themselves is like to have the audacity. I would encourage everybody, have the audacity to go for your dreams, because you never know. That I did it, and then now I'm talking about a book here with you and all these beautiful flowers. Are you kidding me?
Life is good. And I totally agree with you. And I love that you're inspiring our audience, because that's what we want to do for you guys. I mean, who inspires you? Who do you look up to?
Oh, man. I mean, so many different people for different reasons. I mean, the women in my family are so strong, are wise. My mom, my sister, all the women in my family are incredible. My friend Angela Davis is an incredible human being who I talk about her in the book. She's given me amazing advice over the years. I look up to certain comedians a lot of times my peers, I'll look up to my peers who are doing great work, who are working really hard, and that will inspire me to continue to work really hard. Mm-hmm. So, it depends. Like, different people inspire me for different reasons.
Love it. And what made you decide to write the book? Like, did you wake up one morning, or is it something you've been laboring over for a lot of years?
I'm a storyteller in my stand-up comedy. Yeah. I've been doing comedy for many years, and there's some jokes that would not work on stage. There's stories that wouldn't work on stage, mm-hmm. because in stand-up comedy, we are taught to cut the fat, which means take out the details, get to the point. Setup, punchline. The closer mm-hmm. you can get from your setup to your punchline, the better. But there were some stories that I had that all of the details were so special. There's such an important part of the story that I didn't want to get rid of the details. So it wouldn't work on stage in stand-up. And so I would try it a couple times, and I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to save this for a book. And I started a document on my computer where I would say, these are stories for my book someday. This is what my chapters would be someday. And I've had this document on my computer for probably 10 years. And during COVID quarantine 2020 is when my agent called me and was like, hey, I think it's time for you to write a book. And I was like, got it. I think it's time. Let's do it. I already have my document. Let's go.
Some stuff going on already in order and ready to go. That's good because writing a book is not easy. I've only written a beauty book so far. I've got about 5 books in my head that I want to write.
That's amazing. It is,
thank you. But I basically, after writing that one, which I thought was going to be the easy one, it didn't have a lot of emotional toll. It was more about, it's called 7 Days to Sexy, about how to be beautiful, or look your absolute best within 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, that kind of thing. Mm. And I love the book, don't get me wrong, but it's not a soul-searching book. Sure. It's not, you know, my story or one of my crazy ideas for like a thriller, medical thriller that I have.
Oh my God.
But it was so hard to do that I said, I will never underestimate writing a book again. I will never. That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so a lot of editing.
Congratulations, because you got it done.
Thank you. Same.
Thank you.
I love to be in front of a live audience. I like it when, you know, I do just a teeny bit of like, as a dermatologist, TV, but when there's a live audience, I feel energized by them. And do you feel that way too? Or
oh yeah, we feed off of the crowd, off the energy of the crowd. Right. So it's like we can come out there with all of this energy, and if the crowd is tired and like giving us like some low vibrations, it's really hard to still give that fire and that heat when it's not being reciprocated. You know what I mean? So when I tell a joke and I get that big laugh that just like comes back and hits you, it's like my joke is fueling them.
Yes.
And then their laugh is fueling me. And then we just go in a big circle like that. But if I'm like giving the jokes and they're just like, then I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. You guys a little tired? It's all right.
Yeah. And I actually tend to have a lot of energy in general. And if I'm in the early audience, I'm always like, that was hilarious. What's wrong? I'm like the only one. Not you. Your show. I'm talking about other shows.
What's funny is audiences don't know that they're the bad audience. So that's something that I had to learn, because sometimes like on stage, you can like get annoyed. Like if the audience is like being super boo-boo, then you could be like, all of a sudden I can shift my energy. Like if I let it affect me, then now I'm kind of in a bad mood because they're not giving me what I thought I wanted, you know what I mean? And so I would like shift my mood. And then afterwards doing meet and greets, everybody's like, oh my God, that was hilarious. And I was like, really? How come you didn't laugh?
Why didn't you laugh?
Yeah. But people don't know. They think when you say a joke, they think that when they go, that's showing that they're,
that's enough.
That was a good joke, right? Yeah. But they don't know that the show that was here right before them, their laugh at the joke was,
they were dying.
Oh my God. They have no idea that they're lower than the other crowd because they're just blending in with the energy around them.
Yeah.
So now when I go to live shows, whether it's like Broadway or wherever, I always wonder, if I'm in the good crowd or not, because you don't know.
Right,
you just think
right.
You're having a good time. You just think you're having a good time.
Well, when I'm in a crowd, I'm like the first one to start clapping. I've noticed that I can be the one that starts all the clapping, which is really fun for me because I love that.
Like, I believe
you know, people are like on the verge of, ooh, and then I go, and then there's the whole thing and I love it.
You're the slow
clap
starter.
I'm the hype man for the show. I'm like, and I make a lot of noise and cheer really loud. And I feel like sometimes.
Are you sure you're not the drunk girl in the show that's like, woo? Every joke.
Yes, I am. But I don't drink that much. I drink a little bit and people ask me all the time what I'm drinking. I'm one of those. Like people are like, what have you been drinking? I'm like, nothing. Seltzer water. So it doesn't take much. Like either no drink or half a drink and people think I'm drunk. So that's kind of my energy. I'm like a high energy person.
I like it.
And I don't have a lot of inhibitions. I don't need alcohol. I'm just kind of not super.
Good on you.
Shy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was me for a long time, which I also talk about in the book, is I didn't drink, do drugs. Well, I did drugs when
but
I was younger.
But now you do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now I love me some tequila. But I went through a season of like my 20s out here where I was like, no, I don't drink. Like I'm a good girl. I don't need alcohol. Like my personality is already here. And then I met a margarita. And my life changed.
My life changed. I love it. I can drink a little, but I feel so bad the next day. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I drink.
No, you don't.
But I didn't drink it all in college because I was on my own and I was worried about being taken advantage of. So
good
it kind of went through that stage. Then I went through a stage where I drank more and then now I'm back to not so much. But who knows? You never know. Things change every day. So. But yeah, it's interesting, right? How you go through these little waves in your life.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, when you don't have the energy that you want in the audience, do you have like tricks that you do to get them going? Or do you ever chastise them and go, God, you guys are.
I pick a favorite and I point them out. So if I do my jokes and let's say I gave a joke and I didn't get the response that I wanted, but this one little table over here gave me some energy, then I'll usually highlight them. And I'll be like, thank you, one table. You get me. Are you here with me? Great. And then I'll be like, I'm going to do this next joke just for these people here. And like, then people start getting that they're not the best. You know what I mean? Like, catch up with this table here, everyone. I start doing like little things like that. And then like if everyone laughs at the next one, I'll be like, oh, thank you for joining us. Wow. Oh, thanks for coming, you guys. And, you know, just like jokes like that. But I try not to let my energy shift into like negative or.
Right. Not to let it get to you.
Yeah. Anymore.
That's the beauty of the passage of time is you get that sort of centered ability to center, right?
So
that everything doesn't take you around to a different way. So do you exercise?
I do.
Yeah.
I love yoga. I love Pilates.
Me too.
I also like boot camp style workouts. Like when I feel like tough and I feel like I want to be an athlete, I like to do some boot camp style classes. But for the most part, I love yoga. Like every morning I do some yoga stretches and I'll post on my Instagram stories and I'll do like a little time lapse of whatever my morning routine was that day. But I do. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
My husband works out every day. He goes
to the
gym every day. He wakes up at like 4:30, 5 a.m. and goes to the gym. I'm not about that life. Honey, I'm home. Sleep. Thanks. But I'm sure he would love it if I went with him to the gym every day, but not my
That's
deal.
Not happening.
Mm-mm.
It's okay. It's the yin and yang of life. You don't need to be the same.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to balance each other out.
You. I'll do me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wake up when you get home.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly.
So what is he a fitness expert or
no? He just likes to work out. Okay. Yeah.
Isn't it a great workout? The dancing that you've been doing. I've been watching your dancing.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, the real dirty dancing on Fox. It was a 4-week special. They flew 8 celebrities out to where they film the actual movie Dirty Dancing, and they had us recreate scenes and dances from the movie.
They're very incredible. Sexy, you guys.
It is very called Dirty sexy. Dancing for a reason.
It's very dirty dancing.
Yes.
It's very entertaining. I've been watching. I'm like, whoa.
Thank you.
So you have to see it.
Yeah, you can check it out on Hulu. And it was an incredible experience. It was myself. I was partnered with Howie Duroux for the first challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's Brie Bella from WWE, Lonnie Love, Kat Cora, Iron Chef. Tyler Cameron from The Bachelorette, mm-hmm. Antonio Gates from The Chargers, and Corbin Blue from High School Musical. So we were all out there dancing with each other, and it was an incredible time.
So you guys were dancing with each other, or
We had partners.
You were dancing with a professional dance?
No, with each other. So it was like celebrity with celebrity. I thought we were going to be with like professionals, and I was like, let's go. Got this. Like, who going to spin me? You know what I mean? Yeah. But then it was like, no, you're with other celebs who also are not professional dancers.
No, so we're
like,
okay.
It was.
That's so much harder.
But you end up growing with your partner, and I ended up, well, I don't want to say in case anybody's not watched it yet, but you end up growing with your partner. You end up growing with your partner, evolving, and it really was an incredible experience for me. And I grew so much as a woman in my femininity, my sexuality. Like, I'm very tomboy. Again, talk about this in the book as well. Mm-hmm. Growing up just ashamed of my body or being sexy or anything like that was out of my wheelhouse to be sexy. Mm-hmm. So the past 5 years of my life, I've been doing a lot of self-work, mm-hmm. and a lot of inner healing and learning to embrace my body, my sexuality, my femininity. And, you know, I've been wearing this label of tomboy my whole life, and I wear it well, and it makes me feel confident and I feel good about it. But I think part of that is also a crutch, you know, to cover up the insecurities, the shame, like all of those things. So I finally started doing some work on myself. And when I got invited to do this show, it really was kind of like the thing to like peel the scab off, to really just like get that healing and let my inner sexy girl come out. And she came out.
She sure did. She looks hot, you guys.
Thank you.
Well, I always think you're beautiful and sexy, sexy's a little bit different, right?
Yeah. Sexy's different than cute.
Yeah, cute or beautiful.
Yeah,
sexy
different.
Is like letting your power out. Like,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because I wrote that book called 7 Days to Sexy. And interestingly, there were a lot of people who said, are you sure you want to call it that? There's still a lot of shame around sexy.
Mm-hmm.
That word, or even reading that book, having that book that says that you're reading this for the sake of
right,
letting out your inner sexy. And the most important part of being sexy in the book that I say, that is my opinion, is that you should change your mind first. It's your mindset. It's how you view yourself and how you carry yourself. So you don't have to be 7 days. It could be 7 seconds to sexy, because you carry yourself in a self-composed sort of sexy way. And honestly, your sexual energy is your power. It's a lot of power in that. You don't have to do anything with it, act on it, do anything, but it empowers you to just like come into any situation with a lot of confidence.
I mean, I started even learning about, you know, our chakra system, mm-hmm. and our energies, and talking about, you know, your everything that was created came from sexual energy.
Exactly.
So it's like you tune into your creativity, mm-hmm. you turn into your sexuality. You turn into all of it, like your sacral space, like everything is connected when it comes. It's not just show your cleavage and wear something form fitting. It's totally deeper than that. But you're right. There's shame around the word sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you grew up in church culture like I did. So
I did too. I went to parochial school. So we had.
What's parochial school?
Parochial. It's like a Armenian Orthodox you know, religion. So it wasn't like super, super religious, but definitely a big part of of everything that our school was, like, you know, go to have religion class, go to church every Sunday, you know, that kind of thing. So I always kind of felt like a bug under glass, like I'm always being watched and I'm always in trouble. And I've always sort of had, I've always been more highly sexed, I think. I think I'm more sort of, that's the power that I'm powered
sexual
by.
Sexual person?
Yeah, I think.
Were you always?
But I was made to feel like that's not right.
You shouldn't be, you know. Like pour water on your flame.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Stop it. Douse that. That's not right. That's horrible. Whatever.
Were you always pretty, like, growing up? Like,
no.
No?
Mm-mm. I was like the ugly duckling at school.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I went to a private Armenian school.
Okay.
And I'm only half Armenian. I'm like a foot taller than everyone. And I just looked different.
Yeah.
And I was different. And so I got teased a lot.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
So, but definitely not considered beautiful at all. I think that was to my benefit. I think being a late bloomer is a good thing because then you develop your, you know, different aspects, like academics or your personality.
Your personality,
or whatever.
Everything, your character, your tough skin. Like
your tough skin. And then you go into life and you start. I started practice in, I was 29 or 30 when I started practice, and I would walk in the room and say, "Wow, you're so beautiful." And I would go, I just was like, "Oh, thank you, but you're just saying that, you know?" And then it would happen enough times.
So you had to have your mind shift.
Yeah, it had to happen enough times that people said that I was like, well, maybe there is something. Maybe they're not just saying that. Is that something people say just to each other? Like, I would be like, there's no way that's me.
Or is that what we're doing? We're just complimenting each other?
Yeah, you too. Is that what people do when you walk in the room? And then I slowly, you know, of course that was years ago, but you know, I slowly started feeling like, oh, okay. But you know,
embrace.
I still have that. You know, those things that happen to you in your formative years, they just make you have an impression that kind of does stick a little bit. Like if you're the ugly duckling, that like there's that ugly girl inside there always.
But I think there's something to be said for women in general. We aren't really taught to empower ourselves and to think that we are beautiful. Like
who do you think you are?
That's conceited if you say I'm beautiful. And I feel like I had this one situation happen to me when I was in my 20s and I was on the set of a TV show. I was a stand-in on a show and there was a guest starring actress there and she gave me a compliment and she said, "Oh, your skin is so beautiful." And I completely deflected and I said, "Oh no, your skin is beautiful." And she stopped me with all love and kindness. And she goes, "Hey, it's okay to just say thank you. You can just say thank you." And I've never been taught that. I had never been told you can receive a compliment and that's okay. Because I always thought if I say thank you, then that means I agree with you and that means I'm conceited. So let me not say thank you. Let me deflect and say, "Oh, no, no, no." "You are." "Oh, no, no, no." And that was the first time somebody gave me permission to embrace
receive
that,
a compliment.
You know, receive a compliment and embrace that. And I think we need to be able to teach women to do that, young girls to do that. You are beautiful. Every shape, every size, every color, beauty. It is okay to tell our girls, "You are beautiful." Yes, honey.
Yes, you're beautiful. And for our girls to say, "Yes, I am."
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Sure.
But what we do, the first thing we want to say to that is like, tone it down. You know what I mean?
Right. Like you said, you were told like put water on the flame.
Yeah. Don't be all sexy. Don't be, you know. And you know, to some extent though, teenage years.
Oh, of course.
You got to keep it under wraps a
little
bit.
Let me tell you, I was out there my teenage years wearing some things I should not have worn that I was like, "Yes, I'm beautiful." And my mom was like, "No, you not. Put this on.
Put more clothes on."
Right.
And I think part of the reason that happens is you want affirmation. You want people to think you're beautiful and sexy. But your parents know what kind of impression other people are getting.
Sure.
And you don't even realize what reaction you're eliciting from other people at
Listen,
that age.
There's balance to everything. Yeah. Balance. Like, yes, let's teach our girls they're beautiful, but also in the same breath, thinking about like my friend, her daughter, when she was very young, stunning. This little girl was so pretty. People would say that all the time to her and be like, oh my God, she's so pretty. And so anytime I would go, wow, you're so pretty. And her mom would go, and smart, and like start saying all the other things. Like, you're right. Because there's that balance of, we just tell this girl, oh, you're so pretty. You're so pretty. So pretty. But also like, and you are so smart. Like, you read that book and you're only 6. And I can't believe that you can say all these words. Like, affirming all the parts. So there is balance. I don't want to just say, you know, let's just balance everything.
I mean, it is moderation, I think, is the key to everything. It's like, sure, you can go too far in one direction, too far in the other direction. But I mean, even raising my daughter, I mean, I even if I see her any minute, I see her like, hey, beauty, hey, beautiful. I just think she's beautiful. But I also realize that affirming other aspects, especially for women, is important because men value beauty in women. Women value beauty in women. So it's not just men that look at us and want to see a beautiful woman.
Right.
We do that too.
Yeah.
What does she look like? What's the first thing you ask if somebody's dating someone new?
Yeah,
like,
let me show a picture.
I want to see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's something a little bit hardwired into us.
It is.
So, I mean, it's not a horrible thing, but it's something that maybe try to balance
a little
bit. Sure, it's
that shift. Maybe the first question is not show me a picture, but maybe it's like, what's his personality like? Does he make you laugh? Tell me about that.
Yeah, yeah. And what is your definition of beauty?
My definition of beauty, I mean, I don't know that I have a definition of it, but I know I would say radiance. Radiance is beautiful to me. And that's not just like, oh, your skin is glowing. Did you go to Dr. Anna? You look good. Like, but it's like from the inside out, when somebody has a radiance about them, it's different. You notice them. No matter what they look like, no matter if they're wearing makeup or if they're showing cleavage or whatever it is, there's some people who are just radiant and they have like this energy about them that you can't help but stop and you listen a little closer to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You look into their eyes when they're talking because they're captivating. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is beauty. Like when someone can captivate you and they are just radiant and you're like, what is it about this person? That's beauty to me.
I love it. Do you think that people can cultivate that radience or that it's inborn? You can cultivate it, right?
Yes, definitely. You do that self work, that inner work. You do whatever it is, your meditation, your journaling, you tune in, you get in alignment with God, like all of that. When you're in alignment with God and you're right where you're supposed to be, you can't help but be radiant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because somebody could be radiant one minute and then all of a sudden somebody cuts them off on the freeway. Their energy shifts, and then they get a bad phone call. By the time they get to where they're going, they get out of the car, all their radiance is gone because they're in this funky mood under this low vibration. Then once you get back into alignment, boom, here she is.
Yeah.
I think it could definitely be cultivated.
I totally agree with you. I just didn't know if you felt that it's a fixed thing or if it's something that changes.
I was just checking. I thought that too.
No, because I feel that myself. I feel that sometimes your light is on, like 100% on. Somebody could be 20, 30 feet away, and they're like,
yeah.
Boom. And then other times you're just a little bit contracted. And the goal is always to push out, to get back to that place. And so for me, I always am trying to get back to that place because things will throw you off.
Yeah.
Sometimes big things, sometimes little things. But it's my goal always to get back to that place. It was funny because yesterday I also think you can cultivate your personality, your bravery a little bit, because I was watching that show with Leonardo DiCaprio, that movie, the one that's nominated. What's it called? Don't Look Up? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, there's one part where Jennifer Lawrence is supposed to, her character is supposed to meet the president, and she gets so nervous that she vomits in a bucket. And I thought to myself, I'm literally at the point in my life where I could talk to anybody. I just don't get nervous around people. I could talk to any. I mean, I'm excited to be around you because you're someone I admire very much. But I don't get nervous, and I wasn't always like that. So I know that you can take strides and become more, not just radiant, but more grounded to where you know your value is equal to everyone's, not just like the actors and the president of the United States or, you know, anyone that you think of hierarchically. It's just that you're seeing them in a different way and you know that they're a human like you, right? So I thought, wow, I think, you know, if I was 25, I would vomit in a bucket if I had to meet the president. But if it was today, I think I'd be excited. I might be nervous in an excited way. But I would welcome it and I wouldn't vomit in a bucket. Let's put it that way. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so that's growth that I have intentionally done, like tried to like get to that point, you know.
Good on you.
So I think what I mean is not to compliment myself, you guys, but my point is that
yourself. Well, that's what we're talking about.
My point is that, like, for example, people that are afraid of public speaking or they're afraid of something or they have things that are holding them back, those are not things that are fixed. Those are things you can cultivate and intentionally push yourself out of your comfort zone on a regular basis so that you can do it. And all of a sudden, your next thing you know, you've pushed yourself out of your comfort zone so many times that you look back, you're like, wow, like 10 years ago, I would have never done this. I would have been too scared or whatever, you know? So I'm trying to inspire the people.
You got it, girl. That's it. Inspire your folks.
Trying. All right. So should we spin the wheel, you guys? Okay. So it has different categories. You're going to spin the wheel and then whatever you land on, we'll do that.
This is so cute. Wait, let me do a good one.
Free association.
What does that mean?
That means I'm going to say a word, one word, and you're going to say the one word that comes to mind.
Ready.
All right, ready? Nails.
Me.
All right. Security.
Me again.
She's... All right. Cut.
Band-Aid.
Band-Aid. Raiders.
Silver.
Oh. Like their logo?
Yeah, silver and black.
Rude.
I mean, I get that these are all me. I could just answer me to all of them. But I'm trying to think of other words. Okay, rude. Nice. Opposites.
Opposites. Okay, okay, okay. How about dreams?
Sleep.
Ah, Hollywood.
Hills. Oil. It's just supposed to be the first word that comes to my head, right? Okay, because you're judging me with these.
I'm not judging you.
Your eyes are judging me.
No, I'm not judging her. I hope you guys are just listening to it and not watching. If you're watching it, I might be judging. But if you're just listening, you can't see. So listen to this on Spotify and don't watch it on YouTube, okay? Okay. Squeeze.
Hug.
That's a good one.
They were all good ones.
Repetitive, but they were good. Drip.
Drip?
Drip.
Clothes.
Gloss.
Lips.
I had my gloss on. She looked right at my lips when she said that. Okay. Popping.
Knuckles.
Mm-hmm. Bounce.
Boobs.
Now they're getting good. Okay, euphoria. Boobs.
drugs.
Drugs. Okay, one more. Pus.
Ooh, pimples.
Pimples. I know. Rob is like grossing out over there. Ooh. Okay, so let's
did I win?
You did. You won a jelly bean, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But right now, spin the wheel again. One more time.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Let me. I don't want to break your machine.
Jelly bean. Oh, what a coincidence that you landed on the jelly beans. This is our favorite game. So you're going to have to bring her a napkin because she's going to spit it out. All right.
Oh, is this where it's like boogers or something?
Kind of. You spin this wheel and then these jelly beans
more
have
wheels?
Different flavors. Yeah, another wheel. And then we'll see which one you land on.
Okay.
Careful. Don't spill them all. That's happened before.
Okay. I landed on... It's either buttered popcorn or rotten egg. Oh, my God. I hate you.
So you have to pick the one that color.
Okay. It looks yellow and white. Oh, here it is. Shit. Okay. Buttered popcorn or rotten egg?
I hate you, Guanji.
Or I love you. We'll decide in a second.
Let's see.
Oh, God.
We have a...
It's rotten egg.
Ah! Oh, sorry.
How did they
not
make
sorry.
This?
God, they're good at that. Aren't they good at that?
There's like garlic in it.
You have to. Courtney's making me
what
do it too.
What is the sparkling water or something? Girl, give me that piece of ham over there. Give me that salami. What the hell? How did they make this? Who was the taste tester of this?
She's like, girl, yeah, that's good. Give me a salami. That's what she said.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's stuck in my mouth.
Okay, salami. That'll wash away with salami flavor.
Wait, one more. Now you do it.
I have to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Courtney, you rigged all these to be bad ones. Did you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, do I have to do the same one, the rotten egg one, or do I have to do a different one?
Pick a different one.
Pick a different one. She said I could do a different one. Do a different one. Okay, so
it
landed on the exact same one. Okay, ready? This thing is rigged. Okay. It says either toothpaste or berry blue.
Those are both amazing.
Yeah, I got lucky.
Those are both wonderful. I put both of those in my mouth every day.
Mmm, it's berry. Are you mad?
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I'm lucky.
Ugh.
I apologize.
That was unreal, you guys.
Mm-hmm. What are those things called?
Oh.
What are they called?
Bean Boozled.
Bean Boozled.
I like it.
They're Jelly Belly Bean Boozled.
Fun game. I like it.
That's fun. Did you like that?
Oh, man. But that was, I thought I was going to throw up right here on your podcast. Whoa.
We would keep that in.
I'm sure you
drama.
Would.
That's drama.
Yeah.
Okay, one more spin. Let's try
another
one more spin.
One. Oh, my God.
Third time's a charm.
Wait, it didn't go
favorites.
All the way around,
it's fine. Okay, favorites. And then, let's see. What's your favorite makeup look?
Look?
Yeah, I haven't asked you your beauty hacks yet, which is coming.
Okay, my favorite makeup look.
Like, do you like smoky eye? Do you like...
Oh, okay. Like...
Dewy.
Definitely not dewy, because I'm already greasy as it is, so I don't need no extra dew. Thank you. And not smoky eye, because I have those heavy eyelids that already... I'm going to have to come talk to you about...
I love her eyes.
So definitely not the smoky eye. I love the makeup look where it looks fresh faced, where you're like, oh my God, like you look so pretty without makeup, but really like she's like wearing like all the things. And you're
all
like, thank
layers,
you.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
The no makeup look.
Yeah, I like that.
I love it. My friend Carrie Maloof is like the expert of that. She's a makeup
Oh, tell
artist.
Her to teach me, please.
Yeah, she does the no.
I try to it do it, like and then I just look like I have nothing.
And then it looks like you have nothing. What was your favorite halftime Super Bowl performance? Which one? Who?
Oh, Bruno Mars, Forever. I love the
one.
Bruno Mars performance. I mean,
mine
listen, now this one that just happened with all the
awesome.
West Coast love, that's definitely neck and neck with Bruno Mars.
Mine was J-Lo.
That was a good one, too.
I was there.
Oh, lucky you.
I'm not trying to brag, but the thing about it is, honestly, you guys, if you have not been to the Super Bowl, it is hard to see everything.
Oh,
so
yeah. I would much rather watch it from home.
It's exciting that you're
the
there.
The energy's fun.
Yeah, the energy's fun. It's exciting that you're there. But you can see the performances and the game a lot better on TV and the replays and the commercials.
Yeah.
So to me, after going once, I mean, we went 3 or 4 or 5 times. But that's because my husband's into sports. I think, like, you don't need to – you're not missing much if you haven't been in person is what I'm trying to tell you, because you actually see the game better on TV.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion. Everyone's like, me. Okay, what's your favorite place to perform?
Texas.
Why?
Great energy.
Yeah?
Texas loves me, and I'm so grateful. I wish every other state would get on board with that.
What about Louisiana?
I'm performing in New Orleans for the first time on this tour. I haven't done New Orleans. I've done Baton Rouge before, and that was great.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I have great shows in a bunch of cities, bunch of states. But for some reason, Texas is like they treat me like I'm a hometown girl. And it's like amazing energy.
And you're... Are you from
I'm not
there?
From Texas.
You're
no.
not from there.
I'm from the Bay Area.
You know, honestly, I went to med school and undergrad in Louisiana. So undergrad in Baton Rouge and med school in New Orleans. New Orleans, you're going to love. The audience
I can't wait.
Is over the top. They're usually drunk by like 2 p.m.
Let's go.
Anyway, because that's the other thing I noticed. Like audiences are different based on the timing, right? Because
oh, yeah.
as you go later, they're wilder.
Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, more yeah. fun to... You yeah, know, yeah, perform yeah, too, yeah. right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about more fun, but wilder, yes.
Okay, okay. We're being politically correct about you. Okay. Favorite comedy club in LA?
In LA? The Improv. Actually, yes. The Improv is my spot, but I tend to have better sets when I go to the Laugh Factory. Uh-huh. Like, the crowds have, like, really good energy at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
It's rare that I won't have a good set at the Laugh Factory. But at the Improv, it's rare that I will have a good set.
Huh.
But I love the Improv.
Yeah. I've been to both. I love Laugh Factory. I'm going to have to come see you. Do you do that regularly?
I'm starting to a little more, try out some different material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool that you go and you kind of try them out and see how you respond and then you put it in your set. That's
yeah.
awesome. It's like research.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what's your favorite skit that you perform?
It's whatever my newest joke is at the time. That's
is
the
your
one
baby?
That I,
is
that's
that
the one that
baby?
I have fun doing. Because I'm like, ooh, it's new. People are liking it. I'm still figuring it out. I love that. Like the new laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because like, does it feel like the ones that you do that were the older ones that you're, do you ever get tired of it? Or it's always
well,
fun
Well, I would 100% get tired of it. But the feeling that I get when I start the nail salon joke and uh-huh. the crowd erupts with yeah. explosion of just energy and love and gratitude that I'm doing this joke, there's no other feeling like that. Like, that's incredible. But for me, I have fun doing whatever joke is like my new baby.
I see. I got you. So what's your favorite activity to do while on tour? Do you go around?
Eat. Find yes. the best food, whatever city I'm in, and let's go.
What's your favorite kind of food?
Mexican, always.
Makes sense. Do you cook?
I'm starting to a little bit. Over COVID quarantine, I started to cook more, but not really.
Yeah. I've been trying
to. Do you?
You know what? I only cook really two or three things, but when I do, my family acts like they died and went to heaven.
Yes. So, what are your things?
Chili, honey cornbread.
Yum.
I can make, what's it called? Veal Milanese.
Oh, look at you go. Fancy.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Yums.
And then I love to bake, like zucchini bread and pineapple upside down cake.
Oh, good for you.
All kinds of stuff. But the baking stuff, because I'm low carb and I've been low carb for so long, just like that was my strength was baking. And now I try not to bake because it's sitting there
tempting
me. So someone said, why don't you bake and then just bring it to work and give it away?
Sounds good.
I know who that someone was. Did I just mess up the camera? So funny. Okay, so what's your favorite place to vacation?
Rarely ever take vacations, but it's
really?
Definitely somewhere tropical, sunny, beautiful, the ocean, sand. I love Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't vacation very much. Yeah. Gotta work on that.
Yeah, you gotta work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, some people love it and some people just don't want to.
Yeah, but I want to, though.
Passion, desire, like, you know.
I want to get to the end of my life and say that I went on adventures and I did things and not like, oh, I just stayed home, but at least I was comfortable. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I got to challenge myself. Get out.
Get out there. What's your first place you're going to go?
Well, my husband and I were supposed to go to Europe for, it was his 40th, my 40th, our 10-year wedding anniversary, and then COVID like messed all the things up. So hopefully this year we'll be able to do it.
That'd be nice. Do you have kids?
I have a dog.
You have a dog. What kind of doggy?
Oh my God, the cutest dog in the world.
Except for mine.
We rescued him at a shelter. He is Yorkie, Maltese, Shih Tzu, Cocker Spaniel, Miniature Schnauzer, Mexican, and Puerto Rican.
Did you do his DNA?
We did.
Oh my God. You guys know you can get a DNA kit at the at Petco and
find out
what your...
I didn't know it was at Petco. I ordered online.
No, it's like a 23andMe, but for doggies, because people who get rescues don't even have any idea what breed they have. So, how old is your doggy?
4.
Cute.
I've had him for 4 years. October it'll be 4 years, and then he'll be 5 because he was almost 1 when I got him.
Aw. Dogs are everything.
I love him. Oh, he's my best friend. I love him so much.
What's his name?
Bonzo. It's short for Garbanzo Bean Reyes.
Well, I got a nugget. Chicken nugget, Guanche.
I love
he
that.
He looks like a chicken nugget.
Oh,
he has a birthmark on his head. It looks like he has like a little burn on it, like a burnt chicken nugget.
How cute. You got that dark meat chicken nugget.
He got the dark meat one. Dunogi. It's not the kind you get from McDonald's. It's the real chicken nuggets.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay,
like okay. with the crispy stuff on them.
I love, listen, I don't have McDonald's hardly ever. But if I do randomly, like once a year, be like, I'm in the mood for McDonald's, I will get chicken nuggets.
Mm.
But I only like the dark meat chicken nuggets. I don't like the white meat chicken nuggets.
But let me tell you, once in a while, McDonald's is like nostalgia, right? Like,
oh, it hits.
You shouldn't, right?
With some spicy mustard, some hot mustard. Hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dip that nuggy.
What? Dip that nuggy. You know, the thing about it is, though, it's a miracle how consistent it is. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
The flavors, like if you get the hamburger, it smells the same. It tastes the
same. 40 years later, still the same.
Right? I don't know what's in there.
Nobody
I don't know
does.
What I'm eating. But if I want to feel nostalgic, I'll eat some McDonald's and it tastes exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that they have like a smell they put on the bun.
No, really?
Like a scent.
That's weird.
And that's why, like, afterward for so long, your fingers smell.
Oh.
Have that, like, smell. So that's, like, part of why it tastes the same. It's, like, a consistent.
Oh, these people are evil. That is
you
just.
You think they're evil or they're genius or evil genius?
Yes, exactly.
One or the other. Okay, so what's your favorite genre of movies?
I like scary movies.
You do?
Ghost
movies?
Yeah. Or action-adventure. That's my typical go-to. My husband's like romantic comedy, and I'm like action adventure. Like a shoot 'em up, like I want to see some action. Some bombs go off, like I want to see all that.
I like historical fiction. I'm bored. Boring.
Wow.
I don't like scary. I get nightmares. I'm very impressionable.
Oh.
I swear, I will have nightmares if I watch a scary movie. The last scary movie I watched was 7.
Oh, that's – it's been a while.
Yeah. That was a horrible movie.
I love scary movies.
Oh, it was horrible. Anyway, so yeah, none of that. I like rom-coms too. Okay, so favorite meme. Do you have a favorite meme?
Meme. So many.
There are so many.
I love just sending funny memes to my friends. I can't think of one off the top.
Do you follow Boozy Bitch?
No.
Oh.
I will after today.
Oh my God. It's really funny and totally inappropriate.
All right. Done.
You have
Followed.
To follow. Yes. And what's your favorite self-care moment? What do you do for self-care?
Oh, realign self-care. So depends on where I'm at, what I do. My first go-to thing, if I'm on the road, if I'm in my green room, if I'm feeling anxiety, or if I'm on a plane feeling anxiety, I go to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I practice gratitude and I'll think of 5 things that I'm grateful for. And I'll say them out loud. And it helps if I'm with people and we all do it. So if I'm in my green room and I have like my road manager, my opener comic, and either I'm feeling funky or somebody in the room is feeling funky, then we'll be like, hey, let's stop. Let's do gratitudes. And then everybody says something that they're grateful for. And we start shifting the energy in the room, start shifting our perspective, start shifting everything. So whatever anxiety you are feeling, like now we are in a space of gratitude and raising our vibration. So I think gratitude is my go-to step for self-care.
I love it. So when you hit the stage and that first moment that you're out there, do you ever have a draw a blank or ever feel like, oh, what was I going to say or what was I going to do? Which set was I going to do next? No, you have it down, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that because you practice it or it just comes naturally and you go out there?
I mean, I've been doing it for so long. So I feel like it's just, you just start talking.
You start talking and make people laugh. Okay. And what's your favorite show to binge watch?
Friends, all the time. Seen
you can
every,
watch it and
every
watch
season,
it again.
Every year.
I love
just
it.
Just rewatch it again.
I know. I just watched the first season again, like a few days ago.
There's so many new.
It never gets old.
Good shows out there that I hear about that I'm like, I just watch Friends.
I love it. I love it. So as far as beauty hacks, do you have beauty hacks? Do you have things that you do that, like, if you're in a rush, you want to do something just to make yourself look good, to presentable, to go out, or whatever beauty hacks you have? Tell us.
My beauty hacks are sleep, drink water, moisturize. Those are my go-tos. Like, get some good sleep. Drink a lot of water. If your lips are chapped, go drink a nice tall glass of water. Hydrate. That's my number one go-to. I usually would walk around with this tumbler. I ordered a tumbler like on a fan on Instagram, and I was like, oh, that's so cute. And I ordered one, and I would take it with me everywhere, and it really helped me keep drinking water all day long. And then I lost it. And then I bought a new tumbler at TJ Maxx, and it does not do the same thing. Like, it is not inspiring me at all to be drinking water. So I need to find a new tumbler that is giving me that energy of, like, girl, drink your water. Like, I need a cheerleader tumbler. I need someone to be like, come on, girl, you could do
does
this.
Does it have, like, the, you know, they have those really giant ones or like, a gallon?
I need one that fits in my cup holder. One that when I'm driving, I could do with a straw. And I need a straw.
And a straw.
I need a straw. Because if I have to do this, two hands, hold, put it back on, too much work, I already am not going to drink it. But if I could just go like this.
If it has like a flip straw, hydrate. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's those ones that have like the little hash marks on them, and they tell you like what level you're at so you can meet your goals. We have like those little water bottles here, like the dispensers in the lunchroom, and they're like over there putting their thing under it. Half the thing is gone.
You're funding everybody's water at home.
It's like, there's no water left at the office. It's in their tubs. But no, it's good for you. It is good. Yep. Get your kidneys all filtered out and rinsed.
Yes.
I love it. Is there anything else you want to share with our audience?
Just get my book. If you are watching this before the 15th, pre-order it. You can go to my website, angela.com, ANJELAH.com, pre-order my book. You can get on Audible. I am reading the book on Audible, so you can hear my voice telling the stories. That's my baby right now, is my book.
Yeah. Who do I think I am? I'm going to get that on Audible because I love to hear. I love your voice and the way you deliver.
Thank you.
And so I want to hear it. I think it would be more like entertaining that way for me. Plus, I can listen to it while I'm driving. But I want you to sign this one for me.
Thank you.
How do you like that? How I did that shameless. Anyway, thank you for
sharing having me.
Oh, you're welcome. That's a wrap, babies.